It was in the 70s, so the hippie thing was still going on. The Studio 54 scene hadn't really hit yet. It was just about to, but natural childbirth was huge. So my first child was not planned. I think we'd been married about 2 years is all. During the pregnancy, my father had fallen ill, developed cancer, and died. My dad really loved kids, and so that was going to be the grandchild he was really looking forward to seeing. He didn't get to see her, or any of my kids for that matter. So that part was hard. It was kind of sad time period. So I was grieving while I was pregnant, and I started miscarrying at about 5 months. So I was considered a high-risk pregnancy. So I had to have the baby in the hospital. Well, first they wanted me to get an abortion because they gave me a pill, and if I ended up having a girl, they said she would not develop at puberty. And so they really encouraged an abortion, which at 5 months is kind of pretty far in. And I didn't want to do that. And so he said, well, you better hope you have a boy. I didn't. I had a girl. So her whole life, we were waiting for her to hit puberty and see what would happen, but she's fine. And so that didn't manifest. But the pill did stop me from miscarrying. I think it was Provera. So I carried her to term and went into labor naturally. I wasn't induced and had her at the hospital. The treatment I got during the birth wasn't great. They weren't really used to anyone not taking drugs at the hospital. They weren't used to natural childbirth. I don't feel like I was treated very humanely as a woman by a lot of male doctors. It was overall a pretty negative experience during the labor and delivery because of that. The treatment was the standard at the time. You were just expected to put up with these things that were kind of dehumanizing and give them your money to treat you that way. It was pretty standard to give women an enema, shave them completely. I would say there was a big lack of respect. My water had broken the night, and so we went on into the hospital, and I went into labor on the drive to the hospital. They needed to see something in under the microscope, and the doctor couldn't see it, and so he accused me of it just being urine instead of having my water broke. And the tone of voice was really derogatory, I would say. Well, how do you know you didn't just pee? And that kind of set the tenor, and it just went from there. I would ask for certain procedures not to be done that I felt were not good for me, not good for the baby. The drugs they gave at the time transferred to the baby. Epidurals really weren't a part of the scene. Just a few of my friends had had shots. One of them was paralyzed for 2 years after she had been given an epidural shot. So I didn't want to do that. First child, had no idea what to expect. I was really surprised to see these big leather straps. And you put your feet in the stirrups. All right, well, that, maybe your foot will slip out or something. But then your arms get strapped in. And they were really probably 8 inches long and really heavy leather with buckles. And I looked at the nurse and I said, what are these for? And she's like, oh, we have to strap you down. Like almost apologetic. And I said, why? And she said, well, some women get violent. And I looked at her and I go, I'm not on drugs. There's no reason. I'm not going to hurt anyone. I just need to have this baby right now. She's like, I know, I'm sorry. And then she strapped my arms down. And I labored for about 12 hours. There was a woman having twins in the next room. She was screaming, Holy Mother Mary, the entire 12 hours. And she was on drugs. But it really didn't help my peace of mind. And then they kept coming in to observe me because they thought it was so unusual that I was having a natural childbirth. Okay, I really didn't want people, with a gallery setting. It was like surgery theater, and you know, just watching me. It was weird. They were just watching me breathe, and, you know, the baby was doing fine. So they got bored and quit observing me, really. There was nothing exciting to watch. And they made me stay on my back. Well, I had back labor the whole time. I didn't have stomach labor. That's the worst thing for back labor. I mean, at a certain point, it was just me breathing in my own head, I think counting, just to get my mind somewhere else. That's what I did. I did the breathing. And then my hubby stayed in there with me the whole time. He really strong hands, thankfully, and he had put them under my back, and he would squeeze when I would tell him it was starting. And that really helped me to deal with it, both the combo of the two. And so I was able to do it. I think some of the things that happened, he wasn't in the room with me. And then some of them, you know, he was young. I was 20, he was 22. And we didn't know what the process was. And they treat you like you're weird if you question anything. And just the whole thing was demeaning. It was a rough experience. I asked the doctor not to cut me, and he completely ignored what I said and did it anyway. But then the baby came out just healthy and beautiful, and, you know, you're so happy in that moment. I think I was just happy to carry her to term, and then when she was born, she was so healthy. That was happy moment, and I wanted a girl, so I was happy about that, too. After I had her, I started shaking really badly, and the same person, the head nurse that had been observing me, she's like, well, how are you doing? She came back in to observe some more, I guess, and I said, well, I'm shaking. I can't quit shaking, and she's like, well, you need to stop that. That's psychological. You know, it's not something I intentionally brought on, so how could I intentionally take it away? But it was that whole respect thing of just, you know, you're somebody that I felt like I was just a part of this treadmill birth process, and you were supposed to accept it. They take the baby pretty quickly away from you back then, so I really didn't get to spend much time with her. I made them bring her to me and put her on my chest because I had read about that. But then they took her and put her in the nursery. We really didn't like that, so my husband burst in the nursery and held her and got yelled at and kicked out, but we still got to hold our baby. So then, I don't know, a couple hours later, you're in a room at that point, and they bring you your baby, and you're on your own. Then after 9 at night, you go down to the infant nursery to nurse the baby. And there wasn't any privacy. And so I was in there as a rookie with all these women who already knew how to nurse their babies, knew what nightgown to bring, which I had a hospital thing on. And, you know, how do you nurse a baby with a gown that ties in the back? And there was just no help. I was just kind of in there trying to figure it out on my own. And so I went down there a couple times during the night, and I think by morning, things were getting a little better, and then they bring you the baby, and it was still a rough first day of just learning how to do all that, and every time the baby nurse, you'd bleed more, and you're walking, you know, back and forth down a hall, and you're worrying, and it just, it wasn't nurturing, it wasn't comforting, it wasn't helpful, it was very institutional, very cold, sterile. I took her home for a month, and then I would take her to the pediatrician, and she wasn't gaining weight. She was sick and developed a failure to thrive, spent from the time she was 2 to 4 months old in the hospital, 4 weeks in intensive care. So she was almost 8 pounds when she was born, and when I put her in the hospital, she was less than 8 pounds. I mean, the diagnostic thing itself was horrific. You know, they'd call you in the middle of the night, well, we think your baby has spinal meningitis. We want to do a spinal tap. Can you give us permission on the phone? And it's, you know, 2 in the morning. We're like, well, we'll come down. You know, well, no, go back to sleep. And, you know, how can you sleep after something like that? And it wasn't that, thankfully. And, you know, while you're there, I was there for 2 months watching other babies get sick, watching children die, watching horrible things happen. Your baby's in a crib next to a baby that's in a terrible place, and that baby's staring at you, you know, like almost asking you for help. It's a horrible thing to watch. And every time they would think it was something, I would freak out because I had just seen a kid die from that. So what they did is they finally decided to let her intestines rest, and they gave her an IV, just using all her veins, to just feed her intravenously, no oral food. And then she started getting well. And that took about 3 weeks of just letting her little intestines heal. She was about 3 months old, 3 to 4 months old. She got better. She came home, took her back in when she was 6 months old, and she was just this fat, healthy baby that they didn't even recognize. She gained 18 pounds in 1 month once she got over her problem, which we still don't really know exactly what it was. And I don't know if it's related to the birth experience or not. There were a couple other babies with the same problem. She did get well and thrive and is doing great today. But it was just weird stuff, a weird birth. And so it kind of soured me to the whole hospital experience. And, you know, the whole point of having natural childbirth was to have control. And I felt like I wasn't given very much control. My wishes weren't respected, and I didn't have any more hospital births after that.